says at school, then whatever.
Very happy to say thanks to each and every one of you coming today. We saw last year we were the most attended eSports business event by far. This year we beat that by 20%. We love having you here. Thank you. Go have a good time with us. I'm going to have a good time. So my privilege to be your guide. Thank you. So to open, I want to say thank you to everyone on my team, of course, at EBS for all their hard work in putting this together. Thank you, everyone who's speaking here at MGM. Of course, thank you to MGM, Neil especially, who seems to make this just a fantastic opportunity. How do you guys like the new day this year? Isn't it amazing?
It's good.
And of course, thank you to all our sponsors and all our partners and everyone here tonight. All of you help build this community. My goal here is to build a community, connect the dots, build bridges, and that is the foundation of the eSports Business Summit. Our schedule this year, of course, is amazing. We have top-level speakers. You won't hear anyone else, anywhere else. I'm personally going to have a hard time deciding what to see. Of course, we welcome our keynotes, spotlight sessions, and perspectives from platforms. Tonight is YouTube, brands, and Gillette, and General Mills. One of the most famous content creators, Dr. Lupo. The guy's awesome. 12-time MMA champion, Demetrius Johnson. Tomorrow, Lupo is actually going to be having a meet and greet with heavyweight champion Tyson Fury, so make sure you don't miss that as well. So we're getting a lot of interesting names coming in on the esports side, and it's a lot of fun to play with. Of course, stay here to the end. We're going to have just something amazing we've never done before. It's a Congress of CEOs. We're going to feature six teams, six CEOs in a battle royale to the death panel. Needless to say, so it's going to be a lot of social networking and good times. We've got 10 to work tomorrow night, honoring the best in the business, and of course not one but two big events tonight, so please make sure that you get there. The ticketed one, of course, is in a partnership with Super League Games. You get Topgolf. It's going to be a lot of fun, lots of drinks, and of course, through our partnership with Microsoft, we're going to be hosting a special charity event celebrating the launch of Gears 5 for our charity partner, which is Gamers Outreach. Where's Gamers Outreach? I know you're either way, you're going to have a great time and you can't go wrong. So, let's look at the first slide. Who can you expect to see here at EGS? Needless to say, the roster is stacked. Is that up? Oh, back up. All right, sorry. There we go. There we go. Roster stacked. And you're going to see, look at the companies that are here. You can see their logos. You're not going to see those anywhere else. And it's a privilege to welcome them here tonight. And build those bridges. You're going to see, look at the agencies and brands, leagues and teams, media and platforms, hardware, tech, publishers, sports leagues, world-class universities, and professors are here. And what you're seeing up there is just a sample of everyone who's come to EBS and continues to propel us and make us the best in the business. So, thank you, and I encourage you to use that opportunity to learn from the best, and get involved, and help lead. Last year saw a lot of deals get done better, and hopefully you'll see that again this time around. What was the previous slide? There we go. So now let's look at the esports landscape in 2019. Our friends at Spree Magic compiled a year-to-year look at the state of the industry. It's getting vicious, I gotta say. Everyone wants a piece right now. And it's no longer this curious question mark. Now that everybody knows they have to be in it. And it's going, we're seeing a lot of interesting stats out of it. As esports matures and takes root in pop culture, what you're seeing on here, the amount of major tournaments in the past year grew from 235 to 356 for 34% growth. That's a lot of new tournaments, a lot of new players coming into it. Prize pools are up more than 7%. Peak and Q concurrent viewers are up over 22% at 1.6 million, while hours watched continues to grow. So we already hit a trillion hours. 1 trillion hours watched of the hours in esports in the past year. That is just astounding of how as I gotta say, I gotta give credit to you all for opening that door and welcoming in those communities and basically getting them to stand and keep them coming back. That's powerful. Funny, something that's a lot of other companies are jealous of. Then we get to the rub, though. and it's not on here, but with all the competition, despite the growth of hours watched, average viewership for events is actually different because there's so many more. It's down 8,000 viewers in a year span, the average event, despite record highs for some of esports top tournaments. So it's everyone's figuring their way. There's as I said, the competition of visitors. So what does that mean for the ecosystem? It means you have to be smart and you have to be informed. So if you made a good choice coming to EDS, we're here to start the conversation. And so I'm going to open the door for our first keynote of the event to get that going. It's my pleasure to introduce YouTube Gaming's Global Head of Gaming and AR/VR, Mr. Ryan White. Welcome to EDS, and let's welcome Ryan.
Curveball and probably bring up something that really never gets discussed here, and it's going to be mobile gaming, which is makes some people in Western markets flinch when talking about esports. So what we're going to do today. My name is Ryan Wyatt. I'm the head of gaming at YouTube. I've been running gaming at YouTube for the past 5 years. If you don't know me, I want to share a little bit about my history. So I just started at Major League Gaming on the business side, and kind of did two different paths up until I went to YouTube. One was, I guess you could call normal business for a normal business as you can working in the games industry, but I also was a content creator and an esports commentator on the side as well. So, streamed on Twitch with one of the first streamers, commentated Call of Duty for 8 years, and then finally when I came to YouTube, it was a little bit hard to juggle any extracurricular activities outside of running a game. So it's been cool for me because I've had the opportunity to kind of have this lens that allowed me to be a player, a commentator, a content creator, as well as understanding the platform business side. So in 2015, to kind of take it back and talk a little bit about history, we launched an app called YouTube Gaming. Gaming was already one of the biggest verticals on YouTube, but we were seeing a lot of competitive pressure in the industry, right? There's a lot of different opportunities, there's a lot of different platforms that are doing gaming content, and we tried to figure out what are some of the gaps that we had. And so initially we said, look, it's actually really hard to find the gaming content that you're looking for on YouTube. So we built this app, we took the gaming corpus of content on YouTube, and we made it much easier and digestible on YouTube Gaming. The one thing that we learned throughout this process is it was really hard to drive people away from YouTube into a standalone destination. And so last year, in 2018, we said, let's move all this product innovation that we're doing and all this stuff that we're working, whether it was innovating or getting up into parity with market expectations, let's just move it all into YouTube. YouTube is the second most search platform on the world right after Google, made a lot more sense to move this into one single destination. So we moved it all in September 2018 over to YouTube. It worked out really well for us because we actually have 200 million logged in users that watch gaming content every single day on YouTube. That makes YouTube the biggest gaming platform in the entire world. And last year, they watched 50 billion hours of gaming content on YouTube in just 2018. This year we're on for another record year as it continues to grow, this industry at large does, and continues on YouTube. And it's really interesting, because 50 billion hours, when you look at the landscape, there's about 61 million. So although YouTube Gaming has a good majority of the D&D business, we find ourselves in much competition on that 17% of live gaming. And then while you're all here, what you're most interested in learning in is about what we think is about 10%. So I know, you know, you had stats up there that said, I think 1 billion hours of esports content watched. We actually look at esports as much more than just live content. There's a lot out there that's happening in esports. You look at esports teams, current professional players, tournaments, leagues. There's a lot of content outside of just live that's happening, where there's human interest pieces, shoulder content, highlights, clips, and so forth. This doesn't include something like Ninja, right? Don't really consider Ninja to be like an esports content creator, but Ninja is just a more broad gaming creator. But it gives you an idea of how we're looking at the landscape, and we think there's about 6 billion hours of gaming or esports specific watch time, both live and VOD, that's happening across the entire industry. And so, when it comes to big global esports moments in 2019, and I think this is really interesting, mobile gaming accounts for a significant amount of them, and they were all on YouTube. And I don't think anybody's really talking about that in this room, and that's why I picked this particular topic to dive deep into. You look at the Clash Royal League, the Clash Royale, the mobile game, in the World Finals, at 350,000 concurrent viewers across both the Spanish and broadcast and English, as well as the Portuguese broadcast for the World Finals. We look at Arena of Valor, which is a MOBA, looks a lot like League of Legends, sorry, Riot Games, if you're in the room, at 530,000 concurrent viewers watching that tournament, and over 7 million live views in this half of July. Another one, the PUBG Mobile Club Open Finals, which just happened not too long ago, was actually the end of July. It had 300,000 concurrent and over 21 million views. All of this is happening on YouTube. And then last, I think this one should surprise everyone. This is the Free Fire, Arena's Free Fire Pro League Finals. It was in Portuguese, in Brazil only. That's it. It was a Portuguese broadcast in Brazil. Had 750,000 concurrent viewers with over 13 million views. These are some of the biggest esports events that have happened this year, and they're by live concurrency, and I don't think anybody's talking about them. And largely they're not talking about them because maybe you guys are focused just on the US, or maybe predominantly established Western markets, but this is something that you want to keep in mind of what's happening with esports. And that's my whole point. So with so much esports focused on Western markets, many are missing out on global esports opportunities. So we kind of look at three different pillars, if you will, of where we're focusing, where we're spending time, where we're investing our money, and where we think is really interesting and easy. First and foremost is a philosophy on how we spend money. Licensing for esports leagues, players, teams, exclusivity is really, really expensive, and it's not economically sound. And so what we want to do is continue to grow esports eyeballs. We're really, really interested. Esports should be much bigger than 10% of the entire industry. Right? Like, we really want to focus on it. We think it's very compelling content. It has a premium lens to it. It's very interesting. It needs to be bigger from a YouTube's point of view. And so what we want to do is introduce esports to the masses, the people that are watching just general gameplay, let's play videos, whatever it may be. We want to bring them in, get them excited about esports, make sure they understand esports, the players, the teams, the leagues, and what makes it so interesting. And so we focus a lot on non-exclusive distribution. Whenever we work with leagues or publishers that have esports leagues, this is how we're focusing. So we want to build a global audience. We want the platforms the publishers or the esports leagues themselves to focus on maximizing sponsorship dollars so that they can get the most eyeballs possible. Be across all platforms. Do content across all platforms. Introduce yourself to as many audience and eyeballs as you possibly can. This is what esports needs right now. This is what the most important thing we can be doing as a collective organization. And if you look at all these leagues, this is just actually name a few that are on YouTube today. They're live streaming. They have D&D content. They're doing shoulder programming. They're trying to garner an audience to get some people tuning into regular season, playoffs, championship matches, and so forth. Two, we think we have a duty to help esports teams, players, and personalities diversify their business on YouTube. It's really important, again, when you think about making sure that you're establishing yourself on as many platforms as possible with as many audiences as you can. There's much more to esports than just live streaming. So shoulder content, human interest pieces, on-demand content, all of that in esports is the equivalent size of the live part that's happening. Now, yeah, the live part is much more exciting when you think about traditional sports. Of course, we're tuning into the actual live broadcast of the matches, but in order for us to have characters and players and personalities and teams that people understand and are invested in, there needs to be a lot of content about those players, about those teams, about those leagues that are happening outside those live moments so that they are building an appetite to drive them into those big live moments to make those even bigger. And so that's what we're really focused on. You bring in these sports properties and live streams, not exclusively to maximize eyeballs, but as a kind of the VOD platform for all of the gaming and esports that's happening, you need to be able to celebrate the moments outside of live streams. And if you look at 100 leagues, I'm a little biased here because friends who heard this nation, but want to show you the way that they're thinking about it. Doesn't have to be just esports. Both of these shows, they touch on esports personalities or players or established streamers that are in the space, but they cover a variety of topics. And what they're really doing is they're building the brand of 100 Thieves. 100 Thieves is building the name more than just esports, but what happens is they create a lot of fandom around the brand. That fandom then comes in and follows their teams, whether they're playing in a Fortnite tournament, whether they're playing in League of Legends, whether they were formerly playing in Call of Duty. And even if they're not interested in esports, they're so enamored with the brand, 100 Thieves, that they become huge supporters. And so this is why you're seeing success with TSM and Cloud9 and 100 Thieves. They're bringing in a lot of people and fans of their teams, and that is what's helping grow esports. So we're big, big supporters of esports teams that are starting to focus on this and really build brand loyalty. And if you look at even something like Courage, who is a streamer on Twitch, he's a big YouTube creator, he did this Ariana Grande video, he's a part of 100 Thieves. So they're even thinking about, how do I build myself as an individual personality so that I can be even more meaningful and more impactful to the whole? So he did this, kind of, you haven't watched it, actually, before, he's trying to watch. He basically did this like mock music video of Ariana Grande's recent video. She met him, she promoted the video as well because she thought it was hilarious. And so this is just creative ways that people are doing it. This has like nothing to do with esports. But Courage has built huge fans. He's grown his following. When he goes to host all these big esports tournaments, most recently the Fortnite World Cup, he's bringing more fans and more audiences to these broadcasts. We're also thinking about how can they make more money. I think everybody wants to learn how to do that in this space, especially esports teams. So we're creating different products, what we call alternative monetization products, essentially different ways for creators, teams to make money on YouTube outside of just our ads business. So FaZe has been having tremendous success using the integrated merch sell, which is a YouTube feature, where they're selling all their merch. FaZe also is another organization that does a great job selling the brand and building fans, and then follow them into their esports or esports league that they're participating in at the same level. And so the third pillar is really focused on publishers and users. So we want to enhance the experience for users that are watching our esports content. And so we have something called Account View, which essentially allows a user to authenticate their game account on YouTube and be uniquely rewarded for the fandom at the publisher's discretion. We recently showcased this with tremendous success with the Fortnite World Cup. So users who link their Epic and YouTube accounts would be eligible to win in-game goods if they watch the Fortnite World Cup stream. Yet millions and millions and millions of users linking their account, excited to be able to say, oh, I watched the Fortnite World Cup, it was awesome, I stepped out of playing the game, I was rewarded a digital in-game item, and came back to playing the game. There's this really important loop of, I watch the game I love, I come back to play the game I love. And making sure that that loop is fulfilling for both the user and the publisher is really important. And so this helps YouTube be the number one platform for viewership, for live viewership in the finals of the World Cup for Fortnite. And this is one of many other things that we're going to be rolling this out with a lot of other publishers this year going into next year. And it's great because it's all up to the autonomy of the publisher of what they want to do. How do they want to reward fandom? What does that even mean to them? Do they want to give out a beta to the next game? Do they want to give out an in-game digital code? Do they want to give a discount to the store? They have all this autonomy to do what they want, and they realize it's very important when your fan is not playing and they're watching, which is a very, I think we all have accepted the reality of how big that is. They need to be able to have a way to be able to celebrate. The other thing that we recently just launched is how do we figure out how to bring Google together with gaming. We have Google Play, the Stadia that's coming in November, and we have YouTube. All of these are very big gaming businesses for us. So we established a pretty strong partnership with our friends at Google Play, and last week in Taiwan we launched this PUBG Mobile Star Challenge. It had over 30 million views this past week. We brought the account linking together, Google Play sponsored it, and we leaned into one of the fastest growing areas in esports, which is mobile gaming. And so we're starting to get a lot smarter about how we want to leverage all the different things that we're working on. Soon, probably next year, we'll be talking a little bit more about Stadia and what's going to happen in November, and how are we thinking about Stadia and YouTube and have really cool integrations together, and what does that mean in the future of esports and cloud gaming, which are very scary things to an esports player to have a discussion about. But that's something that we'll be looking forward to as well. So I leave you kind of with this last part of wisdom, I guess you will, as you go out this week and you meet a lot of great people and you talk about a lot of different topics in esports. Esports is much, much more than just live streaming. It's much more than just PC, and it's much more than just the domestic US of when you think about this business. And I think regardless of where you're spending your time, your money, your investments, make sure that you have a fundamental understanding of esports and that you maintain a global view. And that's what I ask you over the course of the next couple of days here. I want to thank all of you for having me out here, and I'm looking forward to talking to you some later this week. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Magic Brother.